Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1.
Welcome back. Hour number two of this millennial version of the Big Blue Insider. I am Billy Rutledge along with Bo Robinson. And if you'd like to join the show at all today, the phone number is 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS, or you can tweet me at Billy R. Sports. We're still trying to reach Keith Madison, the old head baseball coach at the University of Kentucky for 25 years, from 1979 to 2003. Coach Madison was the head coach. He is also one of six members that are being inducted into the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame that was announced over the weekend. And whenever we get Keith on the line, we'll talk to him about being inducted into that Hall of Fame and maybe some of the news going around the MLB right now when it comes to not keeping new rule changes and players getting hit with baseballs from fans in the stands. But as we wait for him to join us on the phone, I thought we'd continue our name, image, and likeness discussion from a segment before. We talked about the Texas A&M football team and two players, Isaiah Spiller and Damani Richardson, who are set to earn $10,000 apiece for exclusive interviews posted to an Aggie-centric website, texags.com. Now, their deal, which was reached under the new NIL rules, is sponsored by Greenprint Real Estate Group. So we talked about how is a real estate group going to benefit from this? Not from us, not from us talking about them on News Radio 630 WLAP, but you got to think about the religion of football in the state of Texas. I got to think that this real estate group, their name's going to be mentioned in places where it never has before. So obviously 20K is a hefty price tag, but you got to think 20K will go a long way in a state that lives and breeds footballs. Now, we talked about Texas A&M. I have not mentioned the University of Michigan, whose football team is going to be the first group of players who is set to earn money from their jersey sales. Let's get into this. The M-Den is the University of Michigan's officially licensed retailer. Friday, the M-Den announced that they are selling customized, officially licensed University of Michigan football jerseys with the name and number of current student athletes. Now, it was jersey sales and video games, which has really been the two faux pas of what people arguing that students should make money. Their likeness in video games before the Ed O'Bannon case, and really the jersey sales. When I'm able to go to the University of Kentucky campus and buy a Benny Snell 26 jersey without the Snell name on the back, everybody knows whose likeness, whose image I'm representing. But the kids never got paid for it. And they still won't get paid for it at the University of Kentucky. But the M-Den has individually gone to 50-plus students and signed a deal with them. So the M-Den is, one, the official retailer of the school, so they have the rights to use the university trademark with the player's name. And then, two, they are also the official retailer of Nike, which means it has the right to take blank jerseys and to customize them. So you will not see the University of Michigan jerseys in the store shop. They will not be hanging in there for you to go pick up and buy. You will have to register online. You will have to customize it through the website to make it a customizable order. Then the M-Den will either sew or stitch on the customized name or jerseys. Now, Bo, are you excited to finally be able to buy a Will Levis jersey with the name and image all together?
Win some football games first. That's all I got to say. I mean, you know, I like the creativity behind all this.
Sure.
And the loopholes, and it's just always changing. I like that, but until you do something on the football field, until you win a national championship, I'm not interested in getting anything yet.
Well,
and that's coming from a hardcore collector.
No, I like your mindset, Bo. Show it to me on the court. Show it to me on the field before I buy your jersey.
Because I'm not going to spend the money until you prove to me something on the field.
But I would argue, Bo, that it doesn't take athletic ability alone for me to make money on this name, image, and likeness deal.
No, it doesn't.
Now, obviously,
because if I'm on the other side, okay, let's take Dante Allen. Hey, kudos for you, man, being the first out the gate to have your image on a T-shirt and make some money. Good for you. That's fine. Go for it.
He will play in a few minutes, though.
Right, and that's my point. Yeah. That's my point, too, is that we know that his numbers, what we just talked about in the first hour, which you talked about with Maggie, how's he going to fit into this rotation? Mm-hmm. Is his minutes going to dwindle? Hey, he's still got T-shirts, though. He's still going to make some money.
Yeah, see, that was something, a misconception that I had. When name, image, and likeness came out, I thought it was going to be the best athlete of the biggest revenue-generating sports. So it was going to be the best football player, was going to be the best basketball player. These are the guys that were going to get the sponsorship, and even the girls as well in women's basketball. But I did not expect the gymnasts. I did not expect the athletes with 2 million Twitter followers to be the ones that got the first deals and the ones that got the biggest deals. Now, I'm not sure how much we'd be bringing up Milo's tea if Bo Nix, the Auburn quarterback, didn't sponsor that. But, you know, I don't think that we're the audience. We're not the market for Milo's tea. I think it really, the communities in which they're doing this are so football-centric that I feel like it does make an impact. But it's not in the typical way that I expected it, at least.
But I can see a 10, 11-year-old kid, a young Kentucky fan, mm-hmm. who is growing up and watching Dante Allen. I can understand why he's marketing T-shirts to those kids.
Right.
Me, as a 44-year-old, old-school Kentucky fan, that's not me, dude.
Now, you can buy the Dante Allen T-shirts. You will not be seeing Kentucky jerseys with names on the back for any time soon. This is a very specific deal with the MDN and the University of Michigan, who are officially the licensed realtor. But it's interesting to see how we're starting to see name, image, and likeness creep up with these kids and how they're using it. I did see a tweet. One athlete, Bo, said something into the effect of, I'm getting paid to promote this podcast. I've never listened to the podcast, but you should give it a shot.
See, that's where you got to be careful.
How so?
Because if somebody's going to tell me, hey, you need to listen to this podcast, but I haven't listened to it yet, then why am I going to listen to it?
Because Bo Nix telling you to
listen
to it.
Because Bo Nix, I don't care what Bo Nix says.
Well, you might.
I don't.
You might not. But you know,
somebody might.
Somebody might.
And Bo's going to make his money. So
Bo's going to make his money, and that podcast is going to get a few more listens.
So is Bo Nix a sellout?
No, I don't think sellout's the right word. Sellout would be giving up football. You know what I mean? If he was just became the Milo's T sponsor. You know, sellout would be giving up a dream in order to do that. I think they're just using what they've been supposed to have been able to use for the last decade or so.
Yeah, and I am not arguing with you. Trust me, I'm not arguing with you. I'm not saying any of this is wrong or anything like that. Free enterprise, two words. Capitalism. Go for it.
Got to let the market dictate itself.
So I'm not arguing with you on this at all, but I think it's just interesting that how the landscape of college athletics has just changed with now we're looking at the transfer portal, we're looking at name, image, and likeness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just going into uncharted territory. That's what I find interesting about all of this.
And yet the college athletic world still exists today.
Yeah, somehow we're still going to have a football season like last year.
Yeah, at least it'll be some non-conference games thrown in there as well. Not that I didn't enjoy the football in the 10-game season, but it was definitely different. But hey, we're going to take an early break here in this second hour. When we come back, we're going to try to get in touch with Keith Madison, the old ball coach, talk a little baseball here. on the Big Blue Insider. Keep it locked where you got it. It's Billy Rutledge and Bo Robinson, and we'll be right back here on the home of the Cats, News Radio 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. I am Billy Rutledge, hosting in place of Dick Gabriel today, along with Bo Robinson. And now joining us on the Celebrity Hotline is the newest addition to the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. He was the UK baseball coach for 25 years. He is a good friend of the show, Keith Madison. How are you, Keith?
Billy, I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. And let me be the 200th person to congratulate you about entering the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. What an honor.
Well, thank you so much. I'm very humbled by it. As a matter of fact, when you just mentioned the Celebrity Hotline, I'm thinking, who else does Billy have on?
We always get in a reaction when we talk about the Celebrity Hotline. But do you get tired of joining Hall of Fames, Keith? I mean, I know this isn't your first. I know you're in the UK Athletics Hall of Fame already. Is it just child's play for you now?
No, it's surreal, to be honest. When I got the call, I was just stunned because I'm thinking, wait a minute, I haven't coached in a while, and I didn't even know I was being nominated, and I was just absolutely stunned.
Well, Coach, after 737 wins, that's the second most wins for any coach in any sport at UK behind Adolph Rupp. Your name was up there, and rightly so, a great honor. But, you know, what I was reading in your bio, Coach, was that you took over the UK program when you were only 26 years old. Is that true?
That is true. Now, Billy, how old are you right now?
I'm 26. I'm 26.
Yeah. I was thinking you were about 26, and I was just thinking about how much energy you have, and every time we talk, you're just full of pep and energy and insights, and I'm thinking maybe I had a little bit of that in me back in the day.
Well, I could have been an energy guy, maybe a water bottle squirter, but I feel like I would have been in over my head if I was the head ball coach. Did you have a tough time trying to get 18, 19, 20-year-olds to respect and listen to a 26-year-old?
You know, that really was not a problem. I came from a good program, Mississippi State University, and I'd played a little bit of professional baseball. So, and these guys, when I came here, Billy, they were so hungry to win. They had broken the school record for losses the year before. And even though some of the guys were only 2 or 3 years younger than me, they were into it. And we had a great time and had a great season. And I stay in touch with most of those guys to this day.
Well, Coach, you did a hell of a job and had 17 players who was under your ranks eventually played in the majors, including 2006 Cy Young winner Brandon Webb. Besides Brandon, were there guys that pop out in your mind of guys that you just really can't forget when you think about your time at Kentucky?
Well, obviously, Joe Blanton, who, you know, he was from my hometown. His dad was on the same high school baseball team I was on, and so he jumps out. Andy Green, who's coaching for the Cubs now. There's so many just really outstanding players, outstanding young men. My orthopedic surgeon, Chinook Tallwalker, played for me. And, I mean, I let him operate on my knee. Can you believe that? And, just so many wonderful human beings that I was able to interact with. And I know coaches are supposed to inspire those guys, but they inspired me.
Talking with Keith Madison, the old ball coach, head coach of UK baseball from 1979 to 2003. Coach, was there ever a time where you questioned why baseball managers are in full uniform for games?
You know, I don't think I ever thought about that until probably the last 10 or 15 years, and then you see how comfortable some coaches look coaching their sport, and we're wearing uniforms. And let's face it, when you get to be middle age, you don't always look great in that baseball uniform.
It is. It's interesting. I don't want to say you don't look great in that baseball uniform, Coach, because you do. It's something that you don't see in other sports, right? I mean, maybe a shirt and tie here and there, but to see John Calipari in a pair of basketball shorts and then no sleeves, I think it would just make my day.
I don't know if I've ever really thought about it that way, but you are absolutely right. It's but you know everything that happens in amateur sports starts at the major league level. So I think Cottie Mack's the only guy I've ever heard of that did not wear a uniform. And you just do it because it's always been done. And so I was proud to wear that uniform with the number 32 on my back and with the Kentucky on the front. And so even though there comes a time when you probably shouldn't wear a uniform, it was still a source of pride.
Hey, well, when John Calipari's name will hang up in the rafters, he won't have a number alongside with it. Your number 32 will, and it already does hang. So something that you can have over the guys as someone who did wear a jersey number for all those years. I believe I saw the new Vanderbilt football coach is removing roster numbers ahead of fall football. Coach, do you feel like that's a good motivation tactic for guys to earn their stripes? They have to earn their digits? Or do you feel like that's or what do you think?
I like it. I think that anytime you can teach a college student or a high school student to earn something, you're giving them a head start in life. Because, you know, I've done some traveling, and I've been to the Dominican Republic 30 times to do baseball clinics and humanitarian projects, and we just do not really have a grasp of how blessed we are in this country. And I just think a lot of kids, you know, it's not their fault. They just live in the greatest country in the history of the world. And so they go through life expecting always good things to happen for them. And that's not the way life is after you get out in the real world, as you know. And so I think anytime a coach or a professor or a teacher can help a young person realize that, hey, you have to earn things in this life, I think it's a good thing.
I like that perspective, Coach. And unfortunately, we only have a few minutes left before we need to take a break, but I did want to get some of your thoughts on what's happening in the major leagues right now. MLB came out and said that they are looking to get rid of two of the new rules that they implemented due to the COVID-19 season. The first one is to get rid of the 7-inning doubleheaders, and the second one is to get rid of the runner on second to start extra innings. Do you disagree with getting rid of any of these, Coach?
No, Billy, thank the Lord. I mean, that runner on second base was the most ridiculous thing. I mean, it'd be like giving Anthony Davis the ball with one dribble at the free throw line in overtime with nobody guarding him. I mean, come on. I just just drove me nuts. Baseball is a traditional sport. It's a great sport. People that love baseball love baseball, and people that don't like it don't like it. And you're not going to make people like it by saving 2 minutes in the game by putting a runner on second base in extra innings.
Were you surprised? Coach, were you surprised to see all the controversy with Stick'Em and some of the things that pitchers put on baseballs? Was that, I mean, I'm not going to tell you to perjure yourself here, but, I mean, did you ever mix the sunscreen with the rosin bag?
I did not. I probably wasn't that smart. I just relied on my two-seam fastball and my 55-foot slider that hitters were dumb enough to swing at every once in a while. I never did anything like that. I hear about it, and I know it happened. I had teammates that did it, and it was well known that people did it. But I'm not surprised that people are doing it, but I'm surprised at the controversy and what a big deal people are making. First of all, you know, I'm a former pitcher, so the seams are so much lower now, and it's really hard for pitchers to grip the ball when they throw a slider or a breaking ball, and so I really can't blame them, because Major League Baseball keeps making it harder for the pitcher by lowering the seams. You know, back in my day, they lowered the mound, and now they're even talking about moving the pitching rubber back. And it's just there has to come a time when hitters have to make the adjustment. They have to learn how to have a better two-strike approach. Instead of trying to hit home runs all the time, maybe they do a Pete Rose and hit the ball the other way occasionally instead of, you know, putting all the responsibility on the pitcher.
Well, Coach, I'm out of time, but I really appreciate you joining us. And one last congratulations for that Hall of Fame, Coach. Thanks for jumping on.
Billy, thank you so much.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back here on the Big Blue Insider.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back. Hour two of this Big Blue Insider, Monday edition. I am Billy Rutledge, along with Bo Robinson. You can join the show 859-280-2287, or you can tweet me at Billy R. Sports. Big thank you to not only Keith Madison, but Maggie Davis, who joined us in the first hour. Both of them did a great job and talking about some UK sports. And, you know, Bo, you mentioned it was talking season, right? We're starting to get all these watch lists out and these awards. The USA Today's network preseason All-SEC team came out. I know you were waiting for that, Bo. And Chris Rodriguez has been left out. Three running backs on the list, and none of them are named Chris Rodriguez. Talk about something you just print out and you post it on the bulletin board, Bo. If that's a real thing, right? I mean, I'm sure it is. I'm sure guys hang stuff in locker rooms. I don't know if there's a cork board out there where guys put their things that they want to be mad at about, but it's bulletin board material for a guy like Chris Rodriguez, the junior running back, who is just named to the watch list for the Maxwell Award for the best college football player. That award has been handed out since 1937. And Chris Rodriguez was able to hop on with former Big Blue Insider producer Curtis Birch on the Behind Kentucky Football podcast. You can listen to the Behind Kentucky Football podcast anywhere where podcasts are played, mostly known on Apple iTunes if you want to listen to more. But in the episode with Chris Rodriguez, we're going to play some audio clips for you now. You know, this guy is just like us, and he is ready for this season to start.
I really just wish that it was closer to the season where he can actually do it, because it's not as easy on our defense. It's like we practice for him every day, and those dudes are in the film room every day, and they know what we're doing, and they know when it's coming, where it's coming from. So, I mean, I'm ready to see it on September 5th or 4th?
4th, yeah.
September 4th, man. Y'all just better be there and come watch.
The former three-star recruit out of Metro Atlanta has emerged as one of college football's most efficient players. Last year, he led the Wildcats in rushing with 785, in rushing touchdowns with 11, and he also averaged 6.6 yards per rush. So, I mean, this guy has high expectations going into his junior year at Kentucky, and he knows, along with us, that no matter what game you're at, whether it be football, baseball, or basketball, you never leave the game early.
4th of July, the Braves were playing against, I think it was the Marlins, maybe. I don't know. I was there with a bunch of my friends. The Braves were winning at first. And at the top of the ninth, Miami or the Marlins were hitting. And they were just hitting home run and first, second, like, you know, so eventually they started scoring, and then it was 7-2. The Braves are down, and I was like, "Man, I'm not staying here. It's hot already." So I was like, "Man, let's leave." So when we got home, my friend texted me. It was like, "Bro, they won." I said, "Who?" He was like, "The Braves." I said, "Bro, there's no way. They were down 7-2 at the top of the ninth." He was like, "Bro, they won 8-7." I was like, bro, why did I leave? So my girlfriend actually made a bet with my friend and was like, I bet the Braves come back and win. And when she said it in the group chat, my friend left the group chat, didn't say nothing. So, yeah.
I have the same philosophy, Chris. I do not blame you. I cannot leave a game early because I was emotionally scarred at a young age. But I have a very similar story. I was at a baseball game opening day for the Cincinnati Reds. And if you know anything about the Cincinnati Reds, hopefully Dick from Dayton's listening, you know that opening weekend is a holiday in Cincinnati.
Absolutely.
They shut down the stores. Everybody is in the streets. It is much bigger than baseball as the community comes together. So my dad takes me and my little brother, pulls me out of school, Bo. They had to sign me out in the middle of class for me to go play hooky and go watch opening day for the Reds. I don't remember who they were playing, but the Reds were losing. The Reds were losing pretty bad. Very similar situation, 7-3, 7-2. My dad's like, we've got to beat parking. We've got to beat the traffic. We've got to go out to the car and get out of here. It's already the eighth inning. I am screaming at my dad not to. Why not just wait? But he's much more focused on the parking, Bo, so we leave early. As soon as we leave the park, the spot where, you know, like the you cannot come back in, you cannot re-enter after this point, the Reds hit a grand slam. Four runs across the plate, and they tie the game at 7 apiece. So I will never leave a game early, ever again. And I can't say that was my fault. I have to blame it on my father. But Chris Rodriguez, a very similar philosophy than what I have.
I don't leave games either. One, because I'm too big of a Kentucky fan to give up like that. You know, I just don't like leaving games. Number two, if you just wait and everybody else is leaving, traffic will be a little bit better for you. Because everybody else is thinking the same thing you are. I'm leaving. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, and like the eighth and ninth?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit around and watch this garbage anymore. I'm done,
okay? All those
dads.
All those dads with their New Balances on, getting ready to take their sons a little bit at home. Probably about 10 minutes earlier, maybe 20 minutes than it would take if you would have stayed at the game. But, you know, probably some people left the Atlanta-New England game early, 28-3. No way Tom Brady is going to come back from this. I remember seeing people leave early in the Miami Heat San Antonio Spurs game, in which Ray Allen hit that shot to extend the series. There were people in the Miami building that were walking out and all their white on. Never leave a game early, man. You could get burned really bad, and all you gain is really what 20, 30
minutes. I always think it's entertaining watching the fans actually leave. Like, I'll be sitting here and I'll just watch them all leave, and I think that's entertaining.
Yeah,
and it would give me something to talk about, you know, if Kentucky basketball is just doing horrible and people are leaving, getting up and leaving, and I'm on the air the next day, I'm going to sit there and tell you or Dick or whoever, yeah, they got up with at the under 12 timeout.
Now, I have one exception, and that's minor league baseball games. Now, no shot at the great organization of the Lexington Legends, who is now competing in a new league, but so much of those games are promotional driven, right? And so when they run out of the dollar beer or they run out, you know, the $2 tacos are only until 8 p.m., I'm okay with you leaving. I think that's a special circumstance.
Listen, I got my bobblehead. I'm going.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
out. I'm done.
I was here for the softball game before the baseball game. So now that I've seen that, I will leave.
That's not a knock against the Legends or anything like
that.
If I get my bobblehead, I'm going in and I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to stick around and have a good time.
No, absolutely. They put on a great product. But, man, those promotions, sometimes they get the best of you.
By the way, do you know Keith Madison has a bobblehead?
I did not, but I feel like I could have assumed that the success
he's had.
Next
time I talk to him, I have to ask him, how do I get a Keith Madison bobblehead?
Oh, you don't have one.
I don't have one.
Oh, that's the problem. Okay, I'm going to text him as we speak, Bo, and ask if we can get a Keith Madison bobblehead for the studio. But let's keep going on with the Chris Rodriguez audio. You know, Chris didn't always play the position that he stars at now. He talks a little bit with Curtis about how he switched over to the running back spot.
I wasn't at running back at first. I wasn't playing running back. I was playing center and middle linebacker, and basically I was just going like hitting people. That was it. So and then one day right before it was the Jamboree game, it was like that's like the first game of the season, we were on a bounce house, and my friend I was on the bounce house, I was getting up, and my cousin Jalen Webster, I was getting up, and he like stepped on my arm. And then I broke it right before it. But my coach, Rob, was telling me, he was like, yeah, you can't play this game because you're really not supposed to be on the team, or something had happened. I don't really remember. But I ended up breaking my arm before the game. And then my brother, he's way skinnier than me, and he's like, he was shorter than me. He ended up playing center. So when I did come back, they were like, all right, well, Chris, you know how to block. So let's put him at fullback.
Yeah.
And let's make them go block people. So I was going to block people or whatever, laying them out. And then one day, they were like, Chris, get you the ball. Get the ball and run, go this way, that way, or whatever. Actually, I think it was Coach Pop that did it. So they would give me the ball, and I would just run. But the thing is, when I was younger, I had a tendency to fumble the ball because I never had ran the ball.
Yeah.
But they would always give it to me, so they believed in me. And ever since then, like, my running back, that's really how I started playing running back.
I love the old youth football way of an offense, run this way and then run that way, Chris, and then you're going to run this way. It's just such a simpler time. But for to hear the way that an all-SEC running back came into the position is super interesting. And I love some of these stories that Curtis Birch is able to unfind on the Behind Kentucky Football podcast. Continuing on the list, Chris is just like all the other guys, and he's putting that offseason work in.
Like, after we work out, we'll do like 7-on-7, just or like routes on air, basically. Mm-hmm. We'll do routes on air, and then after that, we'll do like, all right, well, the quarterbacks just go throw the running backs. And after that, we just go straight to Indy. Running backs do our own Indy. We're hitting the jug machine a lot more, you know, just doing a lot more film work, actually, too.
Is that mainly because trying to get this new offense down as quickly as possible?
Yeah, part of it is that, and then part of it is we're trying to be the best we can be. And, you know, we've had some people recently that, or not recently, but prior to this year, have that mindset. But I think this year we're trying to get everybody locked into the same goal, and that's to make it to Atlanta. So,
and love to hear Chris Rodriguez is catching passes during practice. How the running backs will be used in the passing game, I think, is going to be a pivotal part of the success or failure of this new NFL offense that Liam Cohen is bringing in. And when you have a stable of backs that can also catch the ball, you know, how much of the field, when will Chris Rodriguez be on the field? That'll be interesting to watch, and how Cohen rotates those guys and how much of a passing back that he can become. But, you know, we all do it for one reason or another. I got into the radio because of my dad. You know, everybody has a purpose for living and going and moving forward. And Chris Rodriguez, he does it for his family.
Coming back was to get your degree. It's something that you promised your mom, you said.
Yeah.
I mean, how, speaking of pride, how much pride did that fill her with when she heard that?
Actually, it made not even just her, but the rest of my family proud, too. They're like, actually, Chris is, we see that he didn't go just for football, you know, and then, like, I haven't talked to my cousins any at all, but those are the ones that I'm trying to really make the next leap in the family and not just go to college and then go get a job. I want them to finish college or finish high school and then go on and do what they want to do in life and not have anything hold them back. But for my mom and my aunt, you know, they're the most proud. Every time I come home, that's all they say. We're so proud of you. We're so proud of you. And my grandma. But, yeah, those ladies, man, I love them.
You have to love what you hear from University of Kentucky running back Chris Rodriguez. And finally, as we end our Rodriguez audio here on the Big Blue Insider, a lot to make about the quarterback battle and also some of the guys that have recently left the program. Let's hear what Chris had to say about that.
I can see those guys every day we go out there. They're competing. And that's why I can't wait for fall ball to see, you know, who's going to be competing with who and all that. So,
I guess Will has kind of become a social media star a little bit with his, like, when he's on his knees and throwing it through the goalposts and everything. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I was out there when he did that. I don't know if you can see, like, little bitty people all the way in the back by the goalpost, but he had actually tried it, or actually he was trying to hit it standing up at first, and then he did, and then he was like, I wonder if I can hit it on my knees. So, and then that's when he walked back down there, and then he was like, let me record it. So, and then he started recording it. And I actually think he hit it on his first try. So, wow. We were all what?
Is that one of the crazier things? Because, I mean, I know where you guys spending so much time on the field and on your own time just messing around. What's kind of, like, the craziest thing that you've seen along those lines? Is, like, last year, did Max Duffy, like, punt it into a garbage can or something crazy like that?
No, so I think one of the crazier things is probably before practice, before every practice, Coach White, I think Estes, and they all try to hit the goal post one time. But Drake one time was just like, me and him would kind of just do it as a joke, and then one day Drake just threw it, and he looked at me, and he hit the goal post, and I was like, bro, no way. So, yeah.
A lot of fun that these guys are having on and off the practice field. It's also worth mentioning the value of a scholarship when you hear Chris Rodriguez talk about how important it is for his family and to himself to get an education and to not just play football. You know, I think we lose sight of that a lot of times, and this is something that Dick Gabriel preaches on this show a lot. You know, you're not getting nothing when you get a scholarship. And while there is a lot more opportunities for college athletes starting this year when it comes to player empowerment and which school they can go to and when, and how much money they can make off of their autographs or their own name, image, and likeness, what they were receiving from universities was not nothing. And the opportunity that these universities can give kids from impoverished backgrounds many a times is something that we should all strive to do in helping others reach opportunities that they may not have reached before without you.
There's a great story just kind of off the mic when Curtis, and he told this yesterday on Sunday Morning Sports Talk, when I think they were getting ready to do this interview and name, image, and likeness had came up. And this was before Curtis was rolling.
Right.
And Chris Rodriguez's response was, I'm here to focus on my education and get my degree, not name, image, and likeness. That told me a lot about that kid right there.
And that'll come if you're a great football player,
yeah.
Right? That will be second nature to all these things. You think Spencer Rattler is getting his endorsements from his, you know, his tricky word tweets, or do you think he's getting it from his play on the
football?
At some
point, you got to learn how to manage your money and have a business sense. So whatever his degree is in or anything like that, you know, I'm happy that was his first response. I'm here to get an education. That's my priority.
And why a personal finance class isn't mandatory in high school is something that I don't understand about this education system. But
along with car repair.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
I think we need to teach people how to change their own oil, change your tire. I'd be surprised.
I can see you being the manic mechanic.
Yeah, I could do it. I could change a tire in the heat of the moment, Bo, if I was on the side of the road.
Do it on the side of Watterson and get back to me.
Hopefully it's on the right side of my car. But we got to take another break. When we come back, it's time. It's time for my review of Space Jam 2. You're not going to want to miss this. I'm Billy Rutledge, along with Bo Robinson. We'll be back here on the Home of the Cats, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam. Here's your chance. Do your dance at the Space Jam.
Welcome back. Final segment. It's Billy Rutledge and Bo Robinson here on the Big Blue Insider. And that is the perfect music to close our show as we will discuss Space Jam 2. Have you ever seen Space Jam 1, Bo?
You know, I have not.
Have not.
And I don't know why I haven't. I just never took the time to sit down and watch it. And honestly, I'm a bigger Bugs Bunny fan than Michael Jordan fan. So I don't know. I don't have a good reason why I never sat down and watched the entire Space Jam.
Well, the critics say it's not a good movie. They say it's a bad movie at that. But to me, it's nostalgic. It's a part of my childhood.
Well,
so,
from a pop culture standpoint, reference going into Space Jam 2,
right.
I probably just need to watch it for my own entertainment information.
Yes,
sure.
I would definitely watch Space Jam 1 before Space Jam 2. I've now watched 2. It's available in theaters or on HBO Max, which is the way that I watched it, because I may not go back to a theater ever. They did a good job.
I was going to say, I should watch the first one because I am a huge Bill Murray fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's one Bill Murray movie that I've never watched.
Bill Murray kills it in that one. He was not in the second one. The movie does a good job of playing on itself, right? There are some references that play back to Space Jam 1 that you appreciate. I think LeBron's the problem with this. LeBron is just a bad actor.
I was going to say, I have two questions for you.
Okay.
One, how's LeBron's acting? But two, most importantly, because it's been on my mind all weekend, did LeBron pass the ball?
Well, no, that's perfect foreshadowing, Bo, because, you know, the very end, and a little bit of a spoiler alert, if there's any kids in the car, just click it off. Don't mind you now. There's an ending scene where LeBron needs to score a basket, and how Michael Jordan did it was he cartoonishly extended his arm where he could make the basket. Well, LeBron does not do this, so he is not going to make the basket. And his son, who is on the same team as him, is wide open in the corner. So even when LeBron is not going to make it to the basket and needs help from others for him to be able to make the basket, he doesn't pass the rock. So that was probably the most disappointing thing. Probably the best thing was an allude to Michael Jordan. They go, Bo, Michael Jordan's here. He's going to save us. You know, we've been losing. Michael Jordan's here, the GOAT. And then Michael B. Jordan shows up from the Black Panther. It's just little things like that makes it a fun, family-friendly movie. But I guess if you ask me as a movie critic, LeBron James's poor acting was just, it hurt.
It almost
ruined
it.
It ruined it for me.
I'm not going to waste my time.
If you have kids, watch it. It's worth it. It's worth the fun, especially if you enjoyed Looney Tunes as a kid. That's going to do it for us, Looney Tunes. For Bo Robinson, I am Billy Rutledge. We'll be back with you tomorrow. And that's all, folks.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.